Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Unlikely Leaders, Chapter 1, God's Purpose for His Church. The Church is God's appointed agency to save lost men and women. Its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. Through the Church, eventually everyone, including even the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, will see the final and full display of God's love. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. In the Scriptures, there are many wonderful promises about the Church. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, Go forth, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, chapter 49, verses 8, 9, and 15. The Church is God's fortress, His city of refuge, which He holds in a world in revolt. Any betrayal of the Church is treason against Him, who has bought mankind with the blood of His only Son. From the beginning, the Church has been made up of faithful people. In every age, the Lord's watchmen have faithfully given His message to their own generation. God has sent out His angels to minister to His Church, and the gates of hell have not been able to prevail against His people. Not one opposing force has risen to counteract His work that God did not see ahead of time. He has not left His Church forsaken, but has outlined in prophecy what would happen. All His plans will be fulfilled. God inspires and guards truth, and it will triumph over all opposition. Feeble and defective as they may appear, the Church is the one object that God regards above all others. It is the theater of His grace, in which He delights to reveal His power to transform hearts. Earthly kingdoms rule by physical power, but Christ banishes every instrument of force in His kingdom. His rule is to uplift humanity and make it more noble. God has filled His Church with various gifts and has given it the Holy Spirit. From the beginning, God has worked through His people to bring blessing to the world. God made Joseph a fountain of life to the ancient Egyptian nation. Through him, God preserved that whole people. Through Daniel, God saved the life of all the wise men of Babylon. These deliverances illustrate the spiritual blessings offered to the world through the God whom Joseph and Daniel worshipped. Everyone who will reveal Christ's love to the world is a worker with God for blessing humanity. God desired Israel to be like wells of salvation in the world. The nations of the world had lost the knowledge of God. They had once known Him, but because they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Yet God did not blot them out. He decided to give them the opportunity to become acquainted with Him through His chosen people. Through the sacrificial service, Christ was to be lifted up, and all who would look to Him would live. The whole system of types and symbols was a condensed prophecy of the gospel. But the people of Israel forgot God and failed to fulfill their holy mission. They clung to all their advantages for their own glorification. They shut themselves away from the world in order to escape temptation. They robbed God of service, and they robbed other people of a holy example. Priests and rulers became satisfied with a legal religion. They thought their own righteousness was more than enough. They did not accept the good will of God as something apart from themselves, but connected it with their own merit because of their good works. The faith that works by love could find no place in the religion of the Pharisees. God declared about Israel, "I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine?" Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4. The Savior turned from the Jewish leaders to entrust others with the privileges they had abused and the work they had scorned. God's glory must be revealed. His kingdom must be established. The disciples were called to do the work that the Jewish leaders had failed to do.
Joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. This is Sister Carla, and I'm your host this evening. Let us start with a word of prayer, please. Kind and loving Father, we come before you, thanking you for blessing us and keeping us, Lord. You tell us you have given us 6 days to work, and the seventh day you ask for one day, Lord, for us to be obedient, for us to cease from our work and to come and sit at your feet and to learn. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, because our body needs that rest. Our mind needs the rest, oh, Lord. And we know that you know what's good for us, Lord. So we come before you just thanking you for blessing us and keeping us, Lord. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins, our trespasses, and our iniquity. Help us to be kind and loving. Help us to be submissive to your will. Help us to be obedient above all things. And help us to keep your commandments. And we know without you, we can do nothing, Lord. Please bless each and every one of my brothers and sisters that have joined us this evening and those that will be joining us and also the speaker that will be coming on, Lord. Be with those that are joining us via the internet, in the Netherlands, in Canada, in Japan, in South Korea, Lord, wherever they may be in the Caribbean, Lord. We just thank you portion of what they are in need of, Lord. Again, be in the midst of us as we come to testify of your goodness, as we give you praise, glory, and honor. Help us to do everything in decency and in order. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Happy Preparation Day to each and every one of you. We're not in the Sabbath hour quite yet, but I just want to welcome you this evening. Thank you for joining us. And I will share a reading from the Spirit of Prophecy before I go ahead and open the line for those that want to share. And it's taken from HP, Ye Shall Receive Power, starting at paragraph 152.2. The Sabbath is God's time, not ours. When we trespass upon it, we are stealing from God. God has given us the whole of 6 days in which to do our work and has reserved only one to himself. This should be a day of blessing to us, a day when we should lay aside all our secular matters and center our thoughts upon God and heaven. And that is so true, brothers and sisters, because where our thoughts is, our mind, that's where our treasure is. So God wants us to contemplate on the life of Jesus, the debt, and what he's doing for each and every one of us right now in the most holy place. Continue reading. But while we worship God, we are not to consider this a drudgery. The Sabbath of the Lord is to be made a blessing to us and to our children, because we know the Sabbath was made for all mankind. Amen. Continue. They are to look upon the Sabbath as a day of delight, a day which God has sanctified, and they will so consider. They are properly instructed. Amen. They can be pointed to the blooming flowers and the opening buds, the lofty trees and the beautiful sprouts of grass, and taught that God made all these in 6 days and rested on the seventh day and hallowed it. Thus, the parents may bind up their lessons of instruction to their children so that when these children look upon the things of nature, they will call to mind the great creator of them all. Amen. So we know God is the creator of everything. And it's a blessing to know that we have a creator who loves us so much that he gave his life for us to redeem us from sin. So it is up to us to give our life to him. Amen. So I would like to open the line now. If there's anyone that wants to share your testimony, prayer request, or scripture reading, please press 1 on your telephone keypad, and that will indicate to me that you would like to share, and I will open your line. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you join us this evening on the prayer line, and I'll go ahead and open the line for 518-482. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Mm-hmm. And happy Sabbath to you and all night this evening. You know, I'm just happy to be here. I must say that 6 days of labor have passed so quickly. I had a very busy week, But I just want to say thank you, Lord, for this Sabbath day of rest. You know, life, is life really worth living? I always think about that. In the Bible, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And this text tells me that life is worth living. Christians, we as Christians never have to ask a question. Shouldn't ask a question if life works well. Because one of the greatest benefits of walking with Jesus is you have a goal and a purpose in life. And without God, life is dreary and dismal. Things seem hopeless. I don't know how some people can live without Jesus. And I'm thankful this evening that I know I was brought up to know that Jesus cares for all of us. He cares for all of us, and we have that responsibility of letting our light shine, that others may see Jesus in us. If we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to take away all the strains and stress of life, you wouldn't say that nobody would get stressed. We all would get stressed sometimes, but we would not be stressed out, you know? Satan is always there to jump up and, you know, see that you're going the wrong path. He rejoices. But God has a better plan for us. Life, I would say, my life is worthwhile. It's worth living. And working for Jesus is one of the most rewarding work anyone could do. So this evening, my little talk here is saying that God, we should all try to emulate what Jesus did when he was here on earth. He worked for others. And in helping others, he made life worth living. So this evening, I want to sing the song, Resting in His Love. Because we can rest in God's, we can only rest in God's love. If we don't have God's love, you can really rest, you know. And today, a few minutes from now, we have the real rest day. The Sabbath begins. And my song says, Resting in His Love. God has shown His loving face from His throne in heaven above, and I found a resting place in the shelter of His love. I am resting in His love. Resting sweetly, resting in His love. I am resting in His love. Resting in the shelter of His love. When the cares of life oppress, when the sky is dark above, I can always find a rest in the shelter of His love. I am resting sweetly, resting in His love. Resting sweetly, resting in His love. I am resting in His love. Resting in the shelter of His love. And the last verse is, oh, if you were never blessed, there is this place from heaven above, heaven rest. Sorry. There is for you a wondrous rest. In the shelter of His love, I am resting in His love. Resting safely, resting in His love. I am resting in His love. Resting in the shelter of His love. Yes, my goodness, my dear brothers and sisters, on this prayer line this evening, it's God's holy day of rest. And I hope my heart desire for each one of us on this prayer line this evening, that we will rest in God's love. Have a happy Sabbath, everyone. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for joining us, and thank you for that beautiful song. And I will ask if you can give us another song, if you have a Sabbath song that you can bring to us, my dear sister. And as you look for that song, I'll just like to share 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. As we're resting in God's love, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So when we're resting in His love, we have power, we have a sound mind, and we have love, which is charity. So we can only find our safety in God's love and in His presence. Amen. So whenever you're ready, my dear sister, you can go ahead and sing another song. Thank you.
Okay, I'll sing 381, Holy Sabbath Day of Rest. And I think most of us know that song, Holy Sabbath Day of Rest. I'll sing it with my little music.
By your God divinely blessed,
Jesus was the Son of throughout all eternity. Trust in Him for saving grace, all the victory and grace, and to help us by His power to keep holy every hour. Yes, the Holy Spirit. Divine we bless. If there was a sign to be throughout all eternity, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you again, Sister Campanelli, for that song and your beautiful voice. God has truly blessed you, and may you continue to use your voice to glorify God and to praise Him and to be a blessing to wherever you go in and make a joyful noise for as unto God. Amen. Thank you again. Amen. Again, brothers and sisters, I just want to thank you for joining us. Happy Preparation Day and Happy Sabbath is right upon us. So please press 1 if you would like to share a testimony, a prayer request, or a scripture reading so that I can open your line. It's truly a blessing to come together with brothers and sisters. As we know, we will be doing this in heaven, and this is where our preparations start, right here on earth, to come together, to praise God, to talk of the wonders of our Lord and what He has done, what He, where He has brought us from, and just to share in, in our weeks, trials, and how the Lord has brought us through. So if you would like to share, please press 1 so that I can open your line. And I would like, until then, I would like to share Deuteronomy chapter 26. And I will start at verse 16 for content's sake. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 16. It says, "This day the Lord thy God has commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do all them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast vouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in His ways, and to keep His statutes, and His commandments, and His judgments, and to hearken unto His voice." Verse 18. "And the Lord has vouched thee this day to be His peculiar people, as He has promised thee, and thou shalt keep it all His commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which He has made, in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be holy people unto the Lord thy God, as He has spoken." Amen. Hallelujah. So God wants us to be peculiar people amongst the nation, amongst those that we come in contact with, and that we should be set aside for His glory and for His purpose. Amen. So I'll go to the next caller that has pressed 1 again. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. 518-650. Your line is now open.
Hello. Good afternoon. Happy Sabbath to everyone. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany in New York. And I would like to sing a song. Safely
Amen.
Through. Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God has blessed. Of all the week, the brightest, of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. It beams of life descending with every beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome. welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath holy and worship him today. Who said to his disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, he'll give us of the fountain whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours well spent in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children there as friend. O gentle, loving Savior, good and kind thou art. O precious is thy promise, dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. And I would like to read Hebrews 4, verses 4 to 6. Hebrews 4, verses 4 to 6. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Safely to another week that has brought us on our way, and we must come before him to sing praise. Don't forget the Sabbath. The Lord our God has blessed. Of all the week, the brightest. Of all the week, the best. It brings repose to labor. It tells of joy divine. It beam of life descending with heavenly beauty shine. O Father, who art in heaven, we come before you this evening, O God. And we come before you because there is no other God but you. So we are asking you to forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O God, and help us to walk as you walk, to do what you do. Wash us and cleanse us, mold us and fasten us, and make us to be what you want us to be. Heavenly Father, take full control of all of us. We need you, Lord, because you are the only one who we can rely on, we can call upon. You are the best friend to have. Because you, Jesus, is our source. Use our health, use our strength, use our life, use everything to us. So God, we come before you because we are sinners and we need to be cleansed, we need to be saved. We need to put away sin, O God, and to turn to righteousness. So please, Lord, there is nothing we can do on our own. We just give ourselves to you. We are asking you to anoint us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Create in us clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with your free spirit. Lord, use our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Help us to trust in you with all our heart and to lean not unto our own understanding. But in all our ways, O God, help us to acknowledge you. Because you will direct our path. Use our light and our salvation. And because you use our light and our salvation, we have nothing to fear but to trust you, God. Lord, use the light. Use the shield. Use the guide. Use the compass, O God. Help us to focus our mind heavenward and to take our mind off the things of this world and to give you everything. So that you can lead us into everlasting life. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this evening. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on all of us, Lord. Break us, melt us, mold us, and fill us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Your prayer, dear God, there's anything in me that is unlike you, remove, rebuke, and destroy it. So that as I pray, my prayer may come up to your sweet incense, dear God, and the blessing may come down and bless your people. Bless this prayer line with all of us on this prayer line, along with our families. Put all our families into your hand, O God. We're asking you, Lord, to cover them. Help them to put away sin and righteousness, self, attitude, and everything, O God, that is going to keep us from seeing your face. Lord, we need you. We need you, God, because you have kept us so long. You have kept us through thick and thin. And Heavenly Father, help us to hold tight to you. Because without you, Lord, there's nothing we can do. Bless our families, bless our friends, bless our neighbors, bless our co-workers, oh God. Bless our church family and all those who we come in contact with, dear God. Give them a blessing, Lord. Give them a blessing, Heavenly Father. This evening I was at the bus stop and I see a guy and he had a cap on his head and he take it and throw it off. And I said, why you throw away your cap? And he said, it's hot, it's summer now. And he said to me, do you believe in God? I said, of course I believe in God. And I said, do you believe in God? And he said, yes, mommy, I believe in God. I love God. I said, yes, we have to love God because without God, I wouldn't be sitting here this evening waiting on the bus and you wouldn't be here either.
Amen.
And he go into his bag and he take out. He said, you have baby? I said, no, I don't have baby, but I have a friend that have baby. And he gave me two tin of Infamil plus a little box with six bottles in it. And one of my co-workers, her husband is in one of those islands. And he's over like 2 months now he's in the hospital because he get a bad accident and he's not responding. And she do not want them to sign the paper to take him off the machine because there's nothing he can do. He's not responding or anything. So she used to work at my job. The mother work at my job. So the mother put box together to send for her. And whenever time the mother is sending box, I put with her and I send for her. So God is providing. God is a good God. We have to trust God. We have to love God. We have to lean on God. Because without God, there's nothing we can do. Every day we wake up, we go and we come, don't take it for granted. Tell God thanks. Because without God, we couldn't do it. So I put God before this evening, and all of us, help us to focus our mind heavenward on God and to pray for each other and to ask God to heal us and to cleanse us and to purge us and to save us so that when he comes, we will be ready, waiting for him to go home to live with him.
Amen.
Let us pray and give God thanks for everything. In the bad times and in the good times, give God thanks. He's able and he knows all things best. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving from my heart. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for that prayer and also the testimony inside of the prayer. Amen. God is good. And what is the gentleman's name or what is the family surname so that we can keep him in prayer, please?
Yes, he said his name. He tell me his name, but I don't remember his name. Javon. Said he named Javon.
Okay, Javon. And, okay, that was the gentleman at the bus. But the family back home, the man that's on life support?
I don't know the surname. I only know the daughter. The wife is my co-worker, but she gone home. She's from the Dominican Republic. Her name is Genesis.
Okay.
She have
okay.
two children.
Okay, Genesis and family, yes, especially the husband. Okay, then. Wonderful. Thank you very much. And it's always a pleasure. It's always good to hear you on the prayer line. And we welcome you each and every time that you're able to join. May the Lord continue to bless you, my dear sister.
Right.
Amen.
And best to what I've done for the Lord.
Yes, ma'am. So I'll go to the next caller again. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. And we are almost at the 8 o'clock hour, so we're just going to give a minute or two for sharing, brothers and sisters. If you have a quick testimony, a prayer request, or a scripture reading, this is what we will be sharing at this time. So please press 1 if you would like to share a quick prayer, a prayer request or a quick testimony or a scripture reading. I will go ahead and open the line for 843-206. Good evening. Your line is now open.
Thank you for opening my line, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath to you all, and I thank Sister Barnaby for that beautiful prayer as she prayed for each and every one of us tonight. Thank you so much. Amen. Yes, I do have a Bible verse I would love to read. I'm sorry, another call was coming through. It's taken from Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7, praise God. And it says, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, that saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm so grateful that I have a chance to share this scripture with my beloved brothers and sisters on this line. And I just want to thank and praise the Lord for bringing us through another week safe and sound and blessed. So thank you so much for opening my line. And I do have prayer requests to lift up my mom, Dorothy, in prayer, healing for her, and also praying for my children and my grandchildren. And I want to lift up everyone tonight also on this prayer line, all my brothers and sisters. So thank you so much, Sister Carla. God bless you. Have a blessed and happy Sabbath. Love you all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Tymeka, for coming on and sharing that scripture reading. And we will keep your family in prayer. And I pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. As I know you guys have moved to Florida, you and your daughter, and I believe some of your family. So may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you and be faithful, my sister. And I just want to welcome my dear Sister Katie. That's in Virginia. And Sister Katie, if you would like to say hi or share, please press 1 so that I can open your line and hear your lovely voice. I haven't spoke to Sister Katie in a couple weeks now, but I see that she's faithful on the prayer line. And I just thank the Lord for her and for meeting her when I was living in Virginia. So praise the Lord for her. So is there anyone else who would like to share? Before we go into prayer, I would just like to read another paragraph from HP, and this is chapter 144, and it's paragraph 150.1. It says, God has a test for us, and if we come up to the standard, we shall be a peculiar people. The Sabbath draws a separating line between us and the world. Again, the Sabbath draws a separating line between us and the world, not faintly, but in plain colors. To those who have received the light of this truth, the Sabbath is a test. It is not a human requirement, but God's test. It is what will distinguish between those who serve God and those who serve him not. And upon this point will come the last great conflict between truth and error. All who profess to keep God's law should stand united in the sacred observance of his holy Sabbath. And this is what we are doing now, brothers and sisters. So praise the Lord. Amen. So I see there's one more hand that has pressed one. Again, good evening. And just please be brief with sharing either scripture reading, a quick testimony, or your prayer request. 857-505, your line is now open.
Hello, Sister Carla. Hello, my brothers and sisters on this line. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. First of all, I'd like to thank God because God is good. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Carla. He's an awesome God. He's worthy to be praised. I have a prayer request, Sister Carla. My prayer request is to pray for my mom at this moment. Don't forget to lift up my mom in prayer. Don't forget to lift me up in prayer. And Sister Carla, please lift up, Brother Javel in prayer, because Sister Carla, Brother Javel's been complaining about me on Wednesday. I heard that he was complaining about me. I did this, I did that. I say to the manager, I am a very loving brother, praying for every single one of them, and Brother Javel's family members too is complaining, Sister Carla. So please lift up his family in prayer, because Sister Carla, yesterday I was feeling stressed. Like yesterday at work, I was feeling, you know, sad because Brother Javel complained against me on Wednesday. So please. Please lift up Brother Javel in prayer, because that's what's complaining. And Sister Carla, I don't know, can Sister Tamiko pray for Brother Javel at this moment? Thank you.
Okay, Brother Eli. Thank you, Brother Eli. Thank you. Okay, Brother Eli, we know we're going to have hardship. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have those that will come against us because they are working for Satan. So we have to keep them in prayer. We have to be strong and, you know, we have to fight these battles on our knees in prayer, in song. And those are weapons for us to use so that we will not be brokenhearted or we will not be sad for what is going on or what people are doing around us. So my brother, be faithful and continue to trust in the Lord. And I will see if Sister Tamiko can intercede on the behalf of that prayer. So I'll go ahead and open Sister Tamiko's number again.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Caller. I appreciate that. Oh, yes, Brother Eli, I will definitely pray for you. No problem. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Father God, we thank you for this precious Sabbath evening. We thank you for all of our precious, beloved brothers and sisters tonight, Lord. We bless your holy name and we magnify your great and holy name to the highest. Father God, we're lifting up all of our brothers and sisters tonight on this event life prayer line. And we also praying a special prayer for Brother Eli and his mom, Rose. We're praying for all of his friends at the Daycare program, Lord. We're also praying for his friend, Brother Javel, who has saying bad things about him, dear Lord. Lord, you know everything about Brother Javel. You know every hair on his head. You knew him when he was in his mother's womb. We ask, Father God, that you help Brother Eli to know that all he has to do is trust in you, because you are in control, Lord Jesus, and you have the final say. So, Father God, we're praying for Brother Javel that he will be changed. Dear Lord, we ask that you give him a heart transplant and transform him to have your character so he will be more loving and more kind and more compassionate. So, Father God, we thank you for everything you're doing for Brother Eli. We thank you for everything you're going to do in advance for Brother Javel. And we thank you, Father God, for this precious day that you have given to us so we can all come together in one accord, Father God. We are so grateful that you never leave us nor forsake us. We're thankful, Lord, that you love us always. The apple of your eye. Father God, we trust and receive your word, dear Lord, where it is written, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment thou shalt condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So we have to continue to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways we acknowledge you, and you will make our path straight. So everything will work out for Brother Eli, not because I said it, but because God said it. He is always there for you, Brother Eli, so he's going to take care of the situation in his perfect timing, because God's timing is perfect. So we're going to wait on the Lord for him to do everything that he needs to do, Brother Eli, to work things out for you on your behalf. And he will make a way for you where there seems to be no way. So we thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering this prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Simeka, for that prayer. And again, Brother Eli, please be encouraged and know that God will protect you and keep you because he calleth the apple of his eyes. Amen. So I will go ahead and do the last prayer. Did anyone want to share really quick? Please press 1. We are at the time for prayer and for our speaker. Today will be Pastor Norman. I saw him at the camp meeting in Georgia that I went to, and he will be our speaker this evening. And many of you have heard him spoke on the prayer line, I believe, twice before. So he will be our speaker. So I will, there no one else that like to share, I will go ahead and say a prayer before I open his line. Amen. Okay, let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we thank you ever so much. Lord, we come before you thanking you for creating us, Lord. You have called us for such a day as this, for such a time as this, Lord. We are in the last days, Lord. We see all that has been foretold going on and coming to pass right in front of our eyes. Lord, help us. Help us to be strong. Help us to unify in love. Help us, Lord, to go forth with the blessed banner of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your word you say, rise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Lord, this is a desire for all of us, for your glory to be upon us, for you to rise and shine upon us, Lord, that we will be the light in this dark world, that we will proclaim your name no matter if we live or die. Lord, help us, Abe, help us to be solely thine, Lord. We lift up Brother Javon as the dear sister met at the bus stop. We ask that you will be in his life, that you will reveal yourself more and more to him so that he can come to know you as personal Savior. Lord, please provide the necessity for him. Please be with Genesis and her husband back and also their two children. Dominican, I believe, bless her in a special way as she's working and getting up the necessity that the household need as her husband is lying there on life support, Lord. We know you are the great physician. We know that you can heal your dear son, oh, Father. Please, Lord, may your perfect will be done in that family life, in that husband life, oh, Lord. Please, Lord, touch him right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, so that he can get up out of that bed and take care of his family, but most of all that he can give his life to you, Lord. We know we don't want anyone to go down in a Christless grave, Lord. We also lift up Sister Barnaby, that you will continue to protect her and provide for her. We lift up also Sister Dorothy and Sister Timeka, her children and grandchildren and her family, and also Brother Eli and his mom. We thank you for the blessed hope that all of us have, Lord, and each and every one on this
prayer line, we lift them up in prayers, Lord. You know their unspoken prayer requests. You know their hearts. You know their desire to serve you and the desire for their family to be saved, Lord. Please bless us. Shower your love upon us as we come together, Lord, to sit at your feet, Lord. We ask that you will forgive us, Lord, of our sins. May we repent and not go back to those sins, Lord, of omission, sins of commission, whatever it is that tear us away from you, that separate us from you, Lord. May we not go back to those darling sins. Please bless us, Lord, so that we can gain wisdom and understanding and knowledge, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Norman. I ask that you will bless him in a special way, his wife, his household. I ask that you will supply their needs, Lord. And I ask that you will bless those that are listening via the internet, Lord. You know their heart. You know their desire, Lord. You know everything about us, Lord. So we asking for a new heart. We asking, oh, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to fall afresh upon us this evening, oh, Lord, so that we can truly serve you in spirit and in truth all the days of our life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I will go ahead and open the line for Pastor Norman. I just want to thank each and every one of my brothers and sisters for joining us. Please have your Bible and a pen and a notepad in hand so that you can write down the scriptures or the spirit of prophecy so that you can go back and read it and share it with others. So 706-816, your line is now open.
Okay. Happy Preparation Day and happy Sabbath to everybody.
Amen.
And I'm just going to, I'm using my phone right now, but I'm going to connect it to my iPad real quick because the sound is not all that loud and clear. But the it was really, I'm thankful that you asked me to speak, Sister Carla. The reason for that is I didn't really have anything prepared, and I was considering what should I speak about. I know what I need to talk about, but you know there are so many different things, so many different ways that you can present a topic, and I just said, you know, well, the Lord would have me to do this. I know, and so I decided to come on and share. And then shortly after that, the Lord gave me a topic. And that topic came about through a conversation that I had with my sister. And she was telling about some of her health issues and also what she's going through at the time. And so that helped me to choose something for this evening. And I'm kind of going to touch on it. I'm not really going to speak on it a whole lot, but the topic is going to be about meditation. I guess that goes hand in hand with spiritualism. And I took down a few notes here, but I'm going to start out with a quote. There's some quotes that I typically use these quotes because they have such an importance. Trouble. You must know Christ and appropriate the gift of his righteousness, which he imputes to the repentant sinner. That is a powerful statement that really helps us to prioritize what we need to know, what we need to study, and what we need to share. We have a lot of truths. We have a lot of end-time preparation, truths that we must follow and share with as many people as possible. There's some pretty serious times coming. Some have already, just in the last few years, we've tasted a little bit of it. But it's going to get really, really tough for us. And I think back on Peter and his experience when he said that he would never deny his Lord and that he would even die for him. But yet when the test came, utterly failed, just failed miserably. And if the Lord had not prayed for him, I don't think he would have survived that. I think he would have followed in the same suit as Judas. And so the question is, am I ready? Am I as close to the Lord as Peter was? Peter was with him for 3 years, and yet he could do that. He heard from God himself in the flesh, and yet he still failed. So, you know, this tells me we need to be prepared. But the most important way that he can get us to fail is through not understanding the gift of Christ's righteousness. And through prophecy, this is another quote that I'll share that I think is just, it was actually the quote that started me on this book. And I'll find it real quick here. Well, I'll keep talking as I look for it. But one of the things that Satan does to the world, and Christians, and even some they have that is to get them to use in order to overcome their sadness and their depression, and he gets them that way. And as I can see, you're going to see that clearly. When we see that, we tend to think they must, that's a more faith sadness. To understand that we can be depressed. Mr. White got depressed. However, the depression period, and we think of that.
Excuse me, Pastor Norman?
But I would
Pastor Norman? Can you hear me? You're going in and out. You're a little low, and you're going. Your
okay, hold on
sound is going in and out. Uh huh.
Hear me?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Did you lose me for a minute?
Yes, it was going in and out a little low, and whenever I guess if you get a call or something, that few minutes I will lose you. I won't hear exactly what you're saying if a call or a text come in, so just be mindful of that, please.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So, yeah, so he was, you know, telling him we don't have to sorrow or get to the point where we are debilitated and depressed to the point where we're on medication. We shouldn't have to do that. Sometimes things go really bad and we can become sad and it can have effect on us and people will see it. Like they saw in Jesus, the disciples knew there was something wrong when they saw him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And even though they were half asleep, they knew something was different. And there's different levels of trials and temptations that we go through that bring us to the edge of our capacity to be able to handle them. Just like Jesus, he was at a very trying place in Gethsemane. You know, he said to his disciples in Matthew 26:38, then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. That's a level of trial that we would not be able to take. That would devastate us. We would not be able to go through what Jesus suffered. And the spirit prophecy says, she says that there is no need for us to suffer to that extent. But we will suffer, essentially what God knows we can withstand. And during that time, that's when we need to exercise faith and completely have no reliance upon our feelings, because it will be extremely difficult for us to endure, especially in the times that are coming. There was a time in my life when I walked away from God, and I chose to live like the prodigal son. And it's kind of ironic that you have that very parable in the Bible, and yet so many of us follow just right into those footsteps and can't see that we're in there, like Peter. But I was out of the church for 10 years. I thought I wanted to be a musician for my living, and I knew that I couldn't do it while going to church, while serving God, because the music I was playing was contrary to the Spirit of God. And at the end of the 10-year period, probably by year 8, I was in a complete depression. I had no desire to live. And for about 6 months, I was depressed and suicidal. I was on medication. And even though I was on medication, I still continued to drink alcohol. And eventually I came to the place where, when I was in the hospital, because I had tried to take my life a number of times, I thought to myself, if I don't do something, I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. And so from that point on, I decided to make some changes. That is a self-inflicted depression. Some people have these things happen to them, and it's not their own fault. They don't put themselves in these situations. They just come upon them. And God, again, has a level for each one of us to be able to withstand, and he will put us through that to refine us. Well, after that, I learned and continue to learn how to stay joyful and have peace in my heart. But there's people in the world, and as I mentioned, even in our church, who are caught up in the world's method of recovering from depression. And it's, you know, they call it like wellness and different things that they have. And they just, they use that to convince themselves that everything is going to be okay. If it's a spiritualist doing that, they'll be talking about the universes within them and they have the power. If it's a Christian, they'll say, God loves me, everything's going to be okay. But we need more than that. In this time that we're facing, it is going to be rough. We're told that we have never seen anything like what is about to come upon this world. And we look at the world now and we say, this world has lost its mind. People don't know who they are, what they are, can't define what anything is, and get angry if you try to help them. And there's murders, and you know all that's going on in this world. It's just crazy. And can you imagine it's going to get worse? And most of us, I assume, are living out in the country. I don't live in a city, so I don't see what goes on there. I hear a little bit from the news that I listen to every now and then. But I know that if I were to go in the city of Atlanta, which is about an hour and a half from me, and spend one evening there, I would see things that I couldn't, wouldn't want to see. You know, even years ago, I remember one time I went to New York City and I went to the men's restroom. I walked in and what I saw in there, I just turned right around and walked back out. I could not go in that place. It was filled with the presence of evil, and the things that they were doing in there was just, I couldn't go in. So this is, getting worse and worse and worse. So we have to understand, how can I stand during the time of trouble? And she says, we must know Christ and appropriate the gift of his righteousness that he gives to repentant sinners. And this is something that Satan does not want us to understand. He does not want us to know anything about righteousness by faith. And he has a counterfeit. And this counterfeit is very subtle and quite difficult for some to be able to tell it apart from the real righteousness by faith. And I'm not going to share with you at this time, but I think that it's important that we understand how serious the time is that we're going to go into. And we have to get to a place where our hearts are filled with the love of God so that we can love our enemies. This is very basic gospel taught us, love your enemies. Because if we can't love our enemies now, what are we going to do in a time of trouble when people are persecuting us, belittling us, mocking us, hurting us, hurting our loved ones? Jesus went through all of that and he didn't retaliate. He didn't throw back anything at them. He just went through it like a lamb. And we're told that, you know, we are to follow the lamb whithersoever he goes. But we need to do the same thing. We need to receive, as Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mind that has no pride, this mind that is dead to self, that has complete control over the ruling power of sin in our lives. These things we must know. And we must experience them. And there is a key to all of this. I found it's an important one that we need to learn as well. And I've shared it with you before. But I think that it's something that we easily forget. The topic of righteousness by faith is a deep one, and it's very moving. Just on the way home, I received a phone call from a brother who was going to be presenting this topic next Sabbath. And he had some questions, and we started talking about it. And it is this throughout the Bible. It's just a beautiful, life-changing power that we must, every single one of us, be devoted to understanding, experiencing, and teaching it to as many people as we can. Here's another statement that I share. Often, and this is from the Review and Herald, December 23rd, 1890, paragraph 11, 2 years after 1888. If, through the grace of Christ, his people will become new bottles, he will fill them with the new wine. God will give additional light, and old truths will be recovered and replaced in the framework of truths. And wherever the laborers go, they will triumph. As Christ's ambassadors, they are to search the scriptures, to seek for the truths that have been hidden beneath the rubbish of error. Every ray of light received is to be communicated to others. One interest will prevail. One subject will swallow up every other, Christ, our righteousness. Now that can't be stated any clearer. And if we understand it, we'll see that it's throughout the Bible. Whatever we're reading, you will see it there. And not until I experienced this for myself did I see it everywhere. Before that, I didn't. I'd read things through the Bible, and I would preach, and I would share some studies with people. And now, when I look back on the things that I've shared with people, the sermons that I had preached, I wouldn't preach them anymore. I wouldn't, because they're void of the foundation of righteousness by faith. And many of us are just in that same situation, where we understand it a little bit, we live our lives as best as we can, we try harder, we pray, but when we look at it and we look at ourselves, we don't see what we want. And we wonder sometimes, Lord, am I ever going to make it? Can I actually overcome? And so Jesus has given us the answer. Often we pray, and I do it too, you know. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. But what we need to understand is because of what Christ has done and because of where we are in Earth's history, all the help that we need has been provided. It's up to us to reach out and take it and use it. Ask God to show us it. But he's provided a long time ago. Scripture says, and ye are complete in him. And this is something that we need to have in our minds and to live by. And that is a life of faith. Here's another statement that I want to share with you. This is the one, actually, that turned me around and put me on the path of understanding. It's from The Faith I Live By, 111, paragraph 6. The thought that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us not because of any merit on our part, but as a free gift from God, is a precious thought. The enemy of God and man is not willing that this truth should be clearly presented, for he knows that if the people receive it fully, power will be broken. So you can see how that caught my attention. My wife had read it to me. She was going through that devotional, and she read it to me in the morning. And I asked her instantly, please read that again. She read it again, and that was it. That was what I was looking for, because I knew in my life that power of sin was not broken. It was ruling over me. And so when she shared that, that was it. I needed to understand the righteousness of Christ being imputed into me, not because of any merit on my part, but as a free gift. I needed to know that. I needed to understand that, and I wanted it. And I began to search and search and search. And true as God's word is, when he says ask, seek, and knock, he'll respond to all of those. He certainly did, and he certainly does. Another statement here. Where is it here? Okay. This is taken from Letter 22, 1889. Christ looks at the Spirit. And when he sees us carrying our burden with faith, his perfect holiness atones for our shortcomings. When we do our best, he becomes our righteousness. It takes every ray of light that God sends to us to make us the light of the world. Now, some people have said, and you may have heard this, and there's some truth to it where it says that, you know, that they don't believe where it says that, you know, we do our best and then Christ does the rest. It's sort of a, you know, a slogan. We do our best and he does the rest. This is a little bit more than that here. What this is referring to is when we are carrying our burden with faith. In other words, we have gone through the process, through the requirements of God, and we are living a life of faith. Burdens here is referring to not just the troubles that we inflict upon ourselves by our bad choices. Rather, this is referring to the work of reaching lost souls. As we do that with the best ability that we can, and we are burdened for souls, we are burdened with the work. His perfect holiness atones for our shortcomings. Then it says, when we do our best, he becomes our righteousness. That is beautiful. And what that does is it takes pressure off of us. Unfounded pressure we put upon ourselves at times because we think that there's something that we have to do or else God will not accept us. That is not right. God, we know this. Come as you are, but we don't stay as we are. He wants us to come. But some of us can't come. We don't know how to come. We don't know how to respond. On the day of Pentecost, there were devout religious Jews from everywhere. When they had heard the apostles preaching, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They asked the question. They had no idea what to do. But Peter told them, you have to repent. And they had to believe. And they had to receive forgiveness. Christ will guide us. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And as we open our hearts to him, he will give us the answers that we need. And the one thing that we must understand, though, as we just read, when he looks at our spirit and he sees us carrying our burden with faith, and that's talking about also a pure heart that's wanting to do God's will. We cannot be divided. It will not work. We will just end up making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And so it's important for us that we understand this. And I think the thing that gets us to understand this truth is to recognize our true condition. And in order for us to recognize our true condition, we have to be reading the Word of God. Because as we read the Word of God, Jesus said, you know, search the Scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And so as we read that, we receive the testimony of Jesus. As we receive the spirit of prophecy and read it, we receive the testimony of Jesus. And we see ourselves as we truly are. We see ourselves in need. We see ourselves undone. We see ourselves as lost sinners. We see ourselves, as it says in Revelation chapter 3, blind, poor, wretched, miserable, and naked. And the counsel that follows that is the answer for us. Let's turn there. Revelation chapter 3. And we'll start at verse, I think, is it 16? Yeah. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. This is language that is, if you study it, it's the experience of righteousness by faith. This is exactly what this is. When he stands at the door and he knocks and we open, that's a sign of receiving the grace of God and cooperating and repenting. And then when we repent, then he can come in. Then he can do with us as he has promised he would do, and he would become the author and the finisher of our faith. And then he gives us the promise. If you continue to walk in that light, if you continue to allow me to abide in you, you will be an overcomer. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. That is a very underrated promise that we can't quite grasp because we're not there. We haven't seen what heaven is like. We haven't seen and understood the glory of Jesus Christ and that he is the creator and ruler of the universe. The Bible tells us all things were created by him and for him, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But, I mean, you just got to take a look at two things to understand the power of Jesus Christ. One, look into the stars at night. And then read about what they're discovering in the universe, the galaxies, billions of them, the suns, the size of the different suns. And then turn inward to ourselves, the human body. Take a look at what they're discovering in a human body. You know that, you know, with these mRNA shots, as we call them, that's some pretty sophisticated science. This is not the vaccines of long ago or not that long ago even. These things are quite amazing. And what they do, just to share this a little bit here, is they essentially, the companies that create them and have them injected into people's arms actually become your DNA. And here's what I mean by that. Our DNA creates mRNA. They're messages that go to our ribosomes, and then from there's another complicated process that goes on that produces proteins in order to give us health, to be able to overcome sickness. Everything that our bodies need is made through that sequence. And so what they have done with this is they have changed the message from life-giving to a message that is damaging. In other words, create part of a spike protein, which is that's not what our bodies are supposed to do. And so they do this. And so another thing that DNA does is that it's damaged through everyday living and different poisons, toxins, chemicals, some of the foods that we eat and so forth. And in order for that to be repaired, there are certain foods that we need to eat and there are certain foods that we need to avoid. Among them, one of the things that prevents the repair of DNA is animal protein. Two things, there are more, but two things off the top of my head I think I've shared them with you before, that repair damaged DNA is kiwi and pomegranate. Those two things repair. So what does that tell us? That tells us that God has given us food to be able to repair our DNA so that we can have as healthy a body and mind as possible for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. If we do not treat it right, if we do not feed it right, the DNA will not be able to do what it's supposed to do, and we will end up with sick bodies and temples. And so this just shows us the amazing creative power and wisdom of God and how that Jesus is offering to us to sit with him in his throne. I mean, I don't find words to be able to explain that. That is amazing. And people yet in the world are trying to heal themselves, and some Christians by meditation, by thinking about good thoughts and or having other people tell them good things. And these things are bound to fail. Not only that, they will leave you in a worse condition. And here's why I say that. If a person tells you to meditate and they're your guide, so to speak, and they tell you all these wonderful things about yourself, and you may believe it, and you may start doing quite well, and you may be happy, but as in everybody's life, sometimes things don't go the way we want them to go. And sometimes this brings depression or questions about life. And now the person who has put their entire trust in this method of receiving peace and joy and excitement in life, now that's not working. So what do? Some people will take their lives. They'll get even more depressed than they could before, and they can't get out of it. They have to be on medication the rest of their lives. They don't understand this one law, I'll call it. It's Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is the human heart that we're born with, the carnal heart, carnal mind that we're born with. And Paul in Romans, let's turn there, Romans chapter 3, paints this picture of us, the carnal-minded person, that should help us to understand we need help. Romans 3, starting at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is pretty serious. This is a picture of a carnal-minded person who is born without any intervention from God and continues to live their life into adulthood. While they may not look evil, we just read it, the heart is. Verse 13, it says, their throat is an open sepulcher. An open sepulcher is a grave where a person has died and is decomposing. Well, Paul is saying from our bowels or our emotions, all we can bring out is rottenness. This is not only referring to the wicked sinner, the murderer, the person who's a drunken addict. This is referring to the entire human race left without intervention from God. The poison of asps or snakes, that is under their lips. In other words, we will try to poison and kill others with our words. Paul tells us this because he wants us to understand our selfish nature and how hopeless it is for us to try and change ourselves. In the first two chapters of Romans, he paints a pretty desperate condition of those who reject God. And I always used to wonder, why does he start out? This is a book about the gospel. Why does he start out so negative? But, you know, this is a picture of those who reject God. And since we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we're all going to end up in the same place unless Christ intervenes in our lives. So the conscientious person who's trying to do their best realizes that they're continually failing at some point in their lives, not always, but if failing keeps repeating itself, sinning keeps repeating itself, we've got to ask questions. We can't just say that's normal. That's not what Christ came here to do for us. We might have times of peace and joy, but sometimes we'll fail morally. And from our hearts, we will cry out what Paul says in Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There's no human way to escape from this condition. And we're not guiltless. We are fully guilty. Every time we sin, we prove that. And if we are left in this condition, we would have no hope. Without God and his method of freeing us, we will become more and more evil. And the strange thing about it is we won't even recognize it. And Paul said that too in Romans 7:9. For I was alive once without the law. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In other words, Paul wasn't aware that he was breaking God's law, but something happened to him that changed his view of himself. And that took place when he met Jesus. That encounter was a revelation to him of who God was and the spirit in which Jesus spoke to him just changed him. He just realized instantly, oh my goodness, what have I been doing? What am I? And from there, he began to understand that he needed to change and that this change was about to take place because of Jesus Christ. The condition that we're born in, if we're left alone, and if we were left to live long enough, would lead us to the point where we would actually take God off his throne and kill him if we could. And that sounds kind of severe, but in all reality, we've already done that to Jesus. When things go our way and we lay our plans for our lives, everything seems to fall in place, we're happy. But when there's a time that things don't go the way we plan, even when we are apparently praying and asking God to guide us, our happiness begins to be subdued. And if it keeps up, we can sometimes traumatize ourselves because of these things, which brings unrest, fear, and eventually anger. And that's who we are. That's our lot. I mean, the question has to come to our minds then, what can I do to be saved? And the answer is nothing. I have no capacity to change my dying condition, neither does any one of you. All we can do is recognize it. We can try to make some changes, which will help, you know, for a while. We can pray and some of you have gone through this. I know I have. In the past, I've prayed, God, please help me do anything. Just help me to stop doing this and end up doing it again. You know, I end up in the same situation. So we need help. And as God's people, we need to understand that we need help. We have a lot of knowledge and we have insight into the Word of God like no other people. But this does not constitute righteousness. It does not constitute or equal to salvation or God's favor. It just means we have more information that we need to do something with before we are condemned by it. I think that one of the most important things we need to understand is our hopeless condition, and not to look at what we know, because that's good, but it won't help us in the time of trouble. So the question is asked, Lord, how in the world can I be changed? How can this happen? I need a change of heart. I need to have power over this body and this mind, this craziness that goes on in me, Lord, this indecision, this weakness. How can I have this? And we can be thankful that God has an answer, and the answer is Jesus. The way that we come to be partakers of the divine nature is a miracle. God is calling each and every one of us to repentance. Each one of us has weaknesses and sins and areas that we need to give up in our lives, things that we need to stop doing, things that we need to start doing. And our focus needs to be upon ourselves and our salvation to start, because there's no point in trying to go to somebody else and give them Bible studies and we're not saved. I shouldn't say saved, but we're not at peace with God, knowing that Christ is our righteousness. We need to have this established. And so God's plan of salvation, which Spirit of Prophecy told us back in the 1800s, that not one in 100 understands the plan of salvation for himself that is so vital to this life and the life to come. That's the same today, and I would actually say it's worse today. You have people in our church that are believing all kinds of strange foolishness, and the reason is because Satan is trying to get them not to understand righteousness by faith, because once you understand righteousness by faith and experience it and live it, you will be able to detect error a lot better than you have in the past. So Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because we don't believe in him, is what it says in John 16. What do you mean, I don't believe in you? All right, so here's how it works. We don't have the capacity, we're not born with the capacity to believe unto righteousness. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. The heart must be able to believe. For example, if you have wronged somebody that you respect, and that is a person of authority, and you come into their presence, there's a certain sort of hesitation. You don't really know if what you want to do will be accepted by them. You don't know if they're going to forgive you. And so with the Lord, when we come into his presence, we have to understand that he is desirous of us to come into his presence and desirous of us to open our hearts to him. Kind of lost my train of thought there a minute. Something else I wanted to say, but I'll continue on. Maybe it'll come back. But as we open up our hearts to his Holy Spirit convicting us of sin, then we become open to the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is repentance. This is grace. And when that grace reaches our hearts and we embrace it, something else begins to happen. It's a miraculous change. That hesitation from wanting to go to God, like when you're hesitating going to somebody else because you've offended them or said something bad about them, that hesitation goes away. And there's this light that seems to come on inside of you that says, he really does love me. He really does want to forgive me. And it's not like any other time. This is something that becomes real. It's a miracle. It's the creation of the new heart that replaces the corrupt and wicked carnal heart. And from that moment, we have the capacity to believe unto righteousness. And the way that we can determine that this is so in our lives is by the fact that we are able to overcome sin. In other words, the ruling power of sin in our lives is now broken. And our hearts are now more compassionate toward other people. We don't speak badly about anybody. We just see souls that need to understand this. And God has done this. This is something he has done, but he's not only done it. He has revealed this to us and created a covenant so that we can understand that this is not based on this one-time feeling. This is based upon the merits of Christ. So that when we look at the book of Leviticus, chapter 4, and I think in chapter 5 as well, there's different prescriptions for people who sin, priests and other people, and sins of ignorance and so forth. They're to bring a sacrifice. And so the process, we'll just use the one where it speaks of a lamb. They bring the lamb, they come to the priest, and everything is understood why the person is there. Then the sinner places his hands on the head of the goat, or excuse me, the lamb, and confesses his sins to God. And then he receives a ceremonial knife from the priest, and the priest tells him what he must do, and he begins to cut the throat of the lamb. The priest catches some of the blood and brings the blood to the horns of the altar, and sometimes it's poured out at the altar of sacrifice at the bottom. And depending on which type of sin it is, it's brought in and sprinkled in the holy place on the veil. But at the end of each one of those prescriptions, it says in clear terms, and he shall be forgiven. It's not maybe. It says distinctly, and he shall be forgiven. So this tells us that when we go through this process, when we repent, this is us coming to Christ and placing our hands on his head, as it were, and confessing our sins to him. And then we take the knife and cut his throat. And he, miraculously, being both lamb and high priest, can take that blood into the sanctuary. And then the miraculous operation of righteousness by faith goes into effect. Christ takes his perfect life of righteousness that he lived on this earth and places it into our accounts in heaven. Our past history of sin is gone and it's cleansed. The Father declares us to the right to the universe as righteous. This is my beloved righteous son and daughter in whom I'm well pleased. We're left to stand there in the midst by faith of the universe. All eyes upon us. And all we can say is, Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my righteousness. And then parts his righteousness into our soul temples, and we receive a measure of the Holy Spirit that we have not before. And we are made capable of living the life of Christ, because now the carnal mind has died and is going to be kept in subjection so long as we are obedient and we will live the life of Christ and have the mind of Christ, and we'll be able to do the works of Christ. The works of Christ are to reach as many people as possible. Teach them not how to feel good when they're feeling bad or when they're sick, but to help them to understand their condition so that they are not deceived. And then we can teach them about the remedy that God has made in Christ for them. I remember one time I was sharing this with at a church, and for about 30 minutes, there was a young lady who was sitting in the congregation, and she was crying. For about 30 minutes straight, I kept talking, and I kept looking every now and then, and she was crying. And then the person, the elder at the church, told me after I came down, says, but she has been crying for a long time. I said, I know, I've been seeing this. So I had to go over and talk to her and find out what was going on. So I, introduced myself and asked her her name and so forth. And I said, what's going on? And she said, I've never heard anything like this. She's a young Seventh-day Adventist woman. I think she was 22 or something like that. And she said, in my church, all we ever hear is, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you have to do this. She was just freed. She was completely freed, knowing that God is not like that. So that teaches us a number of things. This message of righteousness by faith will have success. And we had just read it not too long ago, that this message will find, where was it here? Hang on, I want to read that again before I'm going to close shortly here. Just give me one more moment. For some reason, I can't find it right now. But it was talking about that this message, we will succeed. And it is true. I have never seen or experienced anything like this. How, when this message is presented clearly, what effect that it has upon people. And it is life-changing. And my appeal to you is to continue to search this, because as you do this, it will open your understanding as never before. It will transform you. You will be a different person. You will not become perfect. That's not what righteousness by faith does. We are called perfect, but we still will grow. But what will happen is that that old heart will be replaced with a new heart. And that new heart will look upon people with compassion, patience, love. It will have the fruits of the Spirit. And people will recognize it. They will see that we have been with Jesus. They will recognize, if they have enough understanding, that Christ is in us. Here's the statement that I'll close with. As the sinner, this is from Christ Object Lessons, page 162, paragraph 4. As the sinner, drawn by the power of Christ, approaches the uplifted cross and prostrates himself before it, there is a new creation. A new heart is given him. He becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. Holiness finds that it has nothing more to require. I'll read that again. Holiness finds that it has nothing more to require. God himself is the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, Romans 3:26. And whom he justified, he also glorified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So this is powerful. And that word here, glorified, refers to the reception of the righteousness of Christ, the character of Christ, the character of love of Son of God. Because typically, we know as Seventh-day Adventists that it's justification, sanctification, and glorification. But here, it seems to skip sanctification. And that's because this is not necessarily talking about us being glorified when Jesus returns. This is talking about character. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And holiness finds that it has nothing more to require. We are complete in him. Christ is our all in all. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's there ministering for us, pleading for us, interceding for us, and preparing a home for us. Thank you for allowing me to share this. And I pray that you would continue to study this topic, share it as much as you can. And I think I've told some of you this before, but you can find a lot of this in First Selected Messages, chapters 46 through 65. But if you want to start with two really powerful chapters, start with chapter 57, Christ, the Way of Life, and chapter 62, which is entitled Justified by Faith. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Norman. What a well-needed message that you spoke to us tonight. And you were only led by the Holy Spirit to bring this to us tonight. So I appreciate it, and I pray that my brothers and sisters also appreciate this message, that we will search our hearts and that we will be able to call Jesus Christ our righteousness, because he's the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can redeem us. So I just thank the Lord again for you, for using you tonight, and happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. May everyone be blessed, and I pray that you receive this message and that you will take it to heart and that you will pray and afflict your soul and, go over these scriptures and share with others so that others can receive in this blessing that we partake of tonight. Let us pray again. Kind and loving Father, we thank you ever so much, Lord, for this message. We thank you for the messenger that you sent for a time such as this, Lord. May we serve you, Lord, without fear, in holiness and righteousness before you all the days of our life. Bless us, O Lord. Give us a good night rest and help us as we study, as we read your word, that we will meditate upon it and we will apply to our life, that it will be in our hearts, O Lord. Bless us as we're going to church tomorrow, Lord. Be with us and guide us and use us for your glory, Lord. We thank you and we praise you and we honor you ever so much. Be with us as we depart from this line, but not from your presence. And we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Again, brothers and sisters, please join us again Sunday evening for Last Day Events and Thursday for Health Reform Thursday, and again Friday evening Preparation Day for Vesper. Jesus loves you, and he's soon to come. So please get your house in order. Thank you. God bless.
From the fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for song.
Oh.